So we shall start B'Siyata D'Shmaya, our first lecture in the series for the next 5-6 weeks. And before I start, I will give in my opening statement an embarrassing statement about myself. I wish when I got married, if I could have gone through a series of these lectures which B'Siyata D'Shmaya tried to give you, I would have saved off a lot. And at least I'm not embarrassed to say it, where other people, some of them would say it. I always say, when I'm speaking about the Torah outlook on marriage, I say, Chochma ein kan, aber zikna yesh kan. I'm not speaking out of wisdom, I'm speaking out of experience. And I have 33 years of experience. 30 years I'm consulting couples and marriages, and I must tell you that the first couple which I started treating 32 years ago, I'm still busy with them almost on a daily basis. I'm still not finished. It's me and my wife. It's an unended project. You never graduate. And this is actually my opening statement about marriage. Marriage is an institution. Let's call it in Loshon HaKodesh, in Hebrew, it's a moised. Moised ha'anusin ha'elokai. Marriage is actually a miniature duplication of the marriage between us and HaKodesh Baruch Hu. It's a miniature Mamet Har Sinai. That's marriage. The best proof, Meretz Hashem, when you're going to stay underneath the chuppah, or those who were standing already underneath the chuppah, the Berachas HaNisuin, which is given for Chosen Kala, is the Brocha, Baruch Atah Hashem, and Mekadosh es Amo Yisroel al the chuppah v'kedushin. We bless here, Chosen Kala, I'm getting married to each other, and we give the Brocha about the overall marriage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisroel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekadosh us through chuppah and kedushin. Chuppah was Mamet Har Sinai, Kofelem Har Kegigis, Kiddushin was the Luchais, was the Torah. That was the marriage. Obviously, it proves that the marriage which we have between husband and wife is a miniature Mamet Har Sinai. Chazal tell us, it's a Gemara, the Gemara in Brochas, it's called Hanehenem Mesidas Chosen. Anyone who is mishtatav is nehenem esidus chosen ve'enem esamchoy, and is not mesameach the chosen bekala, is not participating. This has a lot of deeper meaning. The simcha of chosen bekala is over al chomishe koyle she Torah nisnebem, is over of the 5 koyles the Torah was given. It shows that when you are participating in a chasana and you see a chosen kala is very niskadosh to each other, you are actually witnessing a Mamet Har Sinai, b'zeir ampin, in a miniature way. And if you're not mehana, you're not mesamchoy, what does it mean you're not mehana? You're over. Just let's imagine a picture and remember back, if you could remember back, because Chazal tell us every one of us was standing in Har Sinai. Our neshamas was standing there in Har Sinai. That Yar Kol Om, Yomer Kol Om. The entire nation was standing Mamet Har Sinai, singing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, speaking to you, and everyone said Na'aseh V'Nishma. And imagine, if you could imagine such a picture, that one person was standing there, totally untouched, totally unmoved, not participating in the whole excitement of Mamet Har Sinai. Of course he's over, and all the koyle shetoyre nisna behem. Now we're not talking about Chosen Kala now, we're talking now participants. When you go to a chasana and you see a chuppah is taking place and the enem is samchoy, you're not a part of the simcha, you're not understanding. It's like yes, she's seeing a mamet of Mamet Har Sinai, and obviously this gives us immediately a tremendous message that a marriage is not just a simple thing. So this is, now what is a marriage? It's just like the Yachas which HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Knesset Yisroel. And just like we know that Yiddishkeit, Yahadus, is something which you never graduate, you always grow, hopefully. A Yid is only happy with himself if he's growing. We know a person is, a Malach is a Oymed, a Malach stands. A man is a Hoylach. You're always on the move, either upward, either downward. You can't stabilize yourself, says, here I am, that's my platoon, I'm a Young Israel guy, I'm a Hasidish guy, I'm a this type of fella, it's a modern orthodox, whatever, there's no such a thing. You can't fix that what I am, that what I want to be, it does not go. I just came back this noon from St. Louis, we had a seminar for secular people for over Shabbos. And there was statistically a statement given in the name of a reformed rabbi's research, and it says, those who were three generations ago when Mechalel the Shabbos, today they are lost to the Jewish faith altogether, totally assimilated. Doesn't it? We go downwards. The minute you Mechalel the Shabbos, it takes one, two generations, you gotta be marrying out. There's no, we are hoylach, either we go upwards, either we go downwards. And just like in Yiddishkeit, we hope Shloshim Lekoyach, Arboim Lebina, Chamishim Le'etzer, it's all in Yiddishkeit, growing and growing and growing. And we don't expect of ourselves in Yiddishkeit that we should be at the age of 60 in the same level of Yiddishkeit as we would want to be in the age of 20, 25. We hope we grow in Yiddishkeit in Yiddish, Satoir, Shmiris, Mitzvahs, and so on. So is also marriage. Marriage has to improve itself on the daily, it has to go upward and upward. And if you don't go upward in marriage, you should know you're going downward in marriage. Marriage is not something which can be stabilized. So you never graduate marriage. But how do we understand it? I just will quote, put it on record, and later on we're going to elaborate on it much more. And this first lecture, this tonight's lecture, will be simple, very fundamental, very serious dig. We're not going to go into detail. There's a lot of other things which has to be discussed. Behavioral factors, midas to understand a woman, what a woman is, understand her nature, what shoner shiny is, what your samach yisishta is, what is the mitzvah oina, what do you have to do, what your chiyivim is. There's hundreds of details which Chazal are koveya for men and for women. And this is going to be made to Shem, and in the future lectures, we're not going to touch halacha. That's every chosen has to learn halacha, has to find his teachers and ever learning halacha in Sforim, it has to be taught, but that's not the purpose of this lecture. We really want to learn the Ashkofa to understand it fundamentally. The Maharal says, the whole mitzias of Nisuin, Kedushin, Ishes Ish, which we expect of a marriage, does not exist only by Yidden. By Goy, there's no such a thing as Kedushin, as Nisuin. We call marriage Kedushin, the Rof is Mesader Kedushin. It's a act of sanctity, of holiness, and the biggest holiness. Every Jewish home is a Mikdash Ma'at, is a small bit of Mikdash. V'osel Mikdash v'shachamti b'soicham. And Chazal tell us, Ish v'isho zochu, when a man and woman are zoiche, means they live the way they have to live, and zoiche means also loshen zichuch, the purifying, as we will explain, shchina b'neim, there's a choice of shchina. And according to Sholem Bayis, according to peace in the house, according to living the proper way, the way the Torah wants us, according to that is the shchina. And that's the function of marriage. And this is called Kedushin. And therefore we make the bracha b'chos and kalin the chuppah m'kavishes amesal the chuppah v'kedushin. And it says the Maral that this concept does not exist only in the Torah marriages. In the secular marriages, a marriage is nothing more than a business contract. The man needs the woman for his reasons, she needs the man for her reasons, and they exchange services each other. You give me what I need, you give me what I need, and it's a Mr. A and Mr. B corporation. That's all. We share one roof. We need children, we decide, okay, we're going to share children, but that's what it is. So it's not no different than any other business. And of course, when I feel shortchanged in the service, I feel leaving, I feel divorcing, feel depressed, I get a short end of the deal. This is only in the Goyish marriages, because that's what it is. But us in the Torah, it's a total different situation. And I want right in the beginning to correct one total misconception which we B'nai Torah have. people don't know it. Simply, it's a tremendous, it's a gvaldige chesson, the fact that we know. You ask a ben Torah, and the bigger a ben Torah he is, and the more religious he is, the more frum he is, the more deceived, the more toys he has. He says, why do we getting married for? He says, what do you mean? To have children. That's the only reason. And it's going to bring it to Talmud Chochem, it's going to give a radio statement, Ein Isha Ela Lebonim, the whole reason Ein Isha Ela Lebonim. It's a total toys. There is a mitzvah to be nesuin. There's a mitzvah to be married. It has nothing to do with children. There's a mitzvah to be married. Children is a separate mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to have children. And of course, you can't have children unless you're married. But if you can't have children, or you had children, or you're too old, or the various reason is, this does not relieve the man of the responsibility of being married. And by the way, just for the only man is mechuyev to be married. Woman, al pi halacha, if she doesn't desire to be married, she doesn't have to get married. So therefore, a woman loses her husband at any age, she doesn't have to get married, shalmona. A man, unless there is valid reason to get a heter, why not to get married, is mechuyev al pi halacha and al pi Torah to be married. We soon we're going to explain it why. A kohen gadol is possible to do the avoda in the Kodesh HaKadoshim Yom Kippur. Kohen Gadol cannot be Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, cannot represent Am Yisrael unless he's married. If he hasn't had Chippur Badoi, Bad Beisoi, Beisoi is a Ishtoi, he's not a valid Kohen Gadol. The next thing which I would like to put down as a foundation, the Kviyas HaMetzias, what establishes facts. And this is something which we are unfortunately very geschlagen, we are very confused with. We establish facts in Yiddishkeit, in our homes, in marriages, based on society, based on people. And the first thing which we have to know, the only thing which is kaveya, which is decides and puts down the foundations for things, is Chazal and Torah. Only Chazal and Torah is kaveya, reality. In any reality, no matter how many people do it, and it may be your own parents doing it, maybe or your brothers and sisters doing it, and also your friends are doing it, as long as it's not inconsistent with Chazal, this is not a Jewish marriage. You'll be technically being married, but you cannot build a Bais Neman. A Bais Neman. Now what is a Bais Neman? A Binyan Ade Ad, as we say it in the Berachos HaNesuin. To give a blessing for Sankal should be a Binyan Ade Ad. A structure which goes forever, an everlasting structure. An everlasting structure, Nitzchis, the eternity. This cannot be accomplished only when it is laid with the material and with the foundation of Chazal. Not what the world says. And unfortunately, today the world is not necessarily the Goyish world and not even the secular world. Today there is Amratzas on the street, there is Amratzas in Ashkofer, which is a fact that today's generation, we don't understand, we can't explain ourselves what we practice, we can't explain ourselves, and that's the reason we are suffering so much. We practice Yiddishkeit. I said usually it's known that Am Yisrael today, there's two groups in Am Yisrael. There's the FFBs, the Frum from birth, the Frum is, and then there's the Baal Tshuva. There's communities of Baal Tshuva, Baruch Hashem today. So the FFB, the Baal Tshuva, but today there's already a third group, I call them the FFH, from habit. We just think and practice out of habit, and we don't understand why we're doing it. And what's happening in the end? That we lose total direction, because if you don't understand, we lose the idea. But if I do not have proper Ashkofa to explain why I'm putting on tefillin, if I don't have proper Ashkofa why to keep Shabbos and kosher and anything which we do, it's bad. But it's not fatal, it's not catastrophic. I could still keep Shabbos without understanding why. I'm doing it as a robot. I could put on film with doing it, we don't know why. It's not that catastrophic, although it is, because eventually we lose it. And if we don't lose it, eventually we can't give it over to our children. But when we don't have a shkofa, we don't understand what marriage is all about, what we have to do, does it mean being an adiyat, what is asked from us to do, I will share with you my opinion based on my experience. You don't start fulfilling the mitzvah of marriage. You don't start. And instead of living in a marriage, in an institution which is called marriage, and growing and fulfilling every moment a mitzvah, and to be mashu shchina, betachtoinim, to bring in Shechinah to your house, we're doing direct the opposite. We bring in Shechinah to the Gelusa, we throw out the Shechinah of our homes, we torture ourselves, we torture our wives, our spouse, and then we bring children, we bring miserable children into this world. And what kind of Yiddishkeit comes out of it? Exactly what you see today on the street, on 13th Avenue, and any other place. The reason to blame why we are failing, and we're failing greatly in the chinuch system, and why we're losing so many kids, and why there's so many unhappiness in the world today, and why there's so many divorces and separations and squabbles in the world, is because the children had not seen happiness in their parents' home. Now, no way to blame the parents. We have to know that we're living in a very difficult time. Our parents, and our parents' parents already, either they have been survivors of Holocaust themselves, either they have been raised by parents survivors of Holocaust, and we went through a tremendous earthquake in the last 50, 60, 70 years, I would say go back to the First World War, and they have been shoveled around the world, to Israel, and to America, and to all kind of things, and the world had opened up on us with such a brutality and penetrated into our most private quarters to the influence of the street, to television and media and so on and so on. And here we were weak, we had not a chance to rebuild ourselves, to confront this exposure which the world had given to us. And Baruch Hashem, the parents of the generation, they kept Torah mitzvahs, Baruch Hashem. And they will never lose it, because they have been still raised by the previous parents, which they already had seen their grandfathers with before the difficult times, and they had seen Simcha in the home. But through my experience, which I'm consulting, I can't say how much, but dozens and dozens and dozens weekly, and through my 3 decades of experience in thing, I could tell you 99% of problems in marriages comes because children come from home, they never seen happiness in the parents' home. And not to blame the parents are not to be blamed, but we have to face reality, this is our situation. They don't know themselves who they are. And it's interesting, Chazal tells us a very interesting statement. Hasheru b'lei isha, the one who lives without a wife, means simply one who is not married, or also means the one who is married, but you're not connected with your wife, you're not one, you're not sheru m'isha. You could be very well divorced, also technically you're married. You could be very well separated from your wife and have nothing in common with your wife, although you may live even intimately with your wife. It's still called Shoyre B'lo Isha. Shoyre M'Isha means when you fulfill the requirement of the Torah. Alken Yazov Ish Es Ovi Ve'imoy, a man has to leave behind his father and mother, V'idovek Ve'ishtoy, should get attached himself to his wife, V'hoyu Le'bosor Echot, that to become one flesh, literal one body. As the Chazon Ish beautifully illustrated, the yachas ben ish le ishta, the relationship between husband and wife, is like the yachas ben yad yamin le yad smol. This is my hand, this is my hand. Sometimes yad yamin has his priorities, sometimes yad smol has his priorities when it comes to put on tefillin. I do not discriminate between yad yamin and yad smol. This is my right hand, this is my left hand. Both is me, and I care for both. And there's no competition between the right hand and the left hand. That's the yachas ben yad and yad smol. This is katuel b'sar echad. And go back further to the Maral. The Maral says the yachas ben ish le ishta, the relationship with husband and wife in one body, is like the relationship between the brain and the heart, where the man is representing the brain, and the heart is represented by the woman. In a Jewish home, the man is the brain. That's the reason the man has to learn Torah, the man has to be knowledgeable, and the man has to guide the home. Therefore, the woman has to listen, the heart has to listen to the brain, because the brain has the intellect. But the essence of a Jewish home is the warmness. The essence of a Jewish body is the heart. Life is considered to be in the heart. Same with Beinu Bino. Everything is the heart. Life is considered in the heart and not in the brain. And that's a Jewish woman. Binya is said in Yiddish, Noshem Datan Kalos. They have a very easy floating mind. You could change their mind because their mind is not what is guiding their life, but the intuition they have. The Binya is said, which has been given, the Binya is in Lev, this is the woman. Now, every time when there is a squabble and a vikuach between husband and wife, and they feel competing one against each other and be jealousy one against each other, is as you would overhear a vikuach, a discussion going in between your brain and the heart. That would be a sick person. As the heart wants something from the brain, and the brain says, who are you to give it to me? Who are you to order it to me? Or vice versa. Or you want to drink, you want to take a cup of tea, and you desire a cup of tea, and the hand says, who are you I should give it to you, and refuses to give. That's a disoriented person, it's a sick person. A complete person is when all the organisms work in harmony, and everyone is complementing the others. The brain gives the intellect, the heart gives the warmth, it gives the... That's exactly the between husband and wife. Now, when I started off, if there is a lack of hashkofa, if you don't understand those basic principles, I could tell you from my experience, it's not shayach. It's no way that you could build a home the way the Torah wants you to build a home. Yes, technically, you may call yourself, you have a peaceful home. In the outside, in the families, yes, you go to weddings together, you bring gifts, and you wed- everything is fine. But to call it Sholem Bayis, you know what the Sholem Bayis means? Bayis means a Bayis Nehman Be Yisrael, a Binyan Adeat, and that should be Sholem, should be complete, but Shlemus, there's no such a thing. I just heard a few weeks ago, and it gave me a lot of comfort because I didn't have the guts and the strength and the chutzpah to say it in public. Now we're running the seminars from people. Next thing is going to be in November 22nd, Thanksgiving Day weekend, and any one of you, it's worthwhile to come. If you're married by that time, come with your spouse. If you're not even single, it's worthwhile to come. If your color is dead, then don't come. Okay, I prefer if you should have only one of the couple. But if your color comes, you don't come. If you come, if she doesn't come, it's good for Hassanam to come. It's a lot to learn about. It's a beautiful foundation preparing for wedding. And I used to say, in the lecture we speak about marriage, and I used to say that according my statistics, the way I evaluate things, I would say the vast majority, I used to say 90%, don't even know what Sholem Bayis is. Don't even know, now they don't have Sholem Bayis, they don't even know what Sholem Bayis is. But I used to say to say, who am I to say that? I mean, after all, people live, but they live, they exist, but they don't get the product. The institution which marriage is supposed to deliver, besides children, the kedusha, the holiness, and the completeness, the shlemus, and the simcha, as we're going to explain, does not exist. People don't even know. Until somebody told me that his brother was went into the stipler, Zuchan Levrucha, asking about a couple who doesn't have Sholem Bayis. And he put in the paper that a couple haven't got Sholem Bayis. The stipler started laughing. Who has today Sholem Bayis? There's no such a thing as Sholem Bayis today. It's God. There's no such a thing as Sholem Bayis. It's a Necham Tani. At least they got a Godel which says the same thing. Yes, people live in cooperation, fine. It's like as a Mr. and Mrs. Company. Nice, decent people do deals. But Sholem Bayis, to understand what is demanded from a marriage, when we say marriage is an institution, a man goes into college, wants to become a lawyer. He knows he has to go through so many years of training, has to go through exams, he becomes a legal lawyer. Wants to become a medical doctor, has to go to medicine school. He knows he becomes a doctor. A younger man goes into Torah, goes into Kollel, wants to finish Shas, you know. He wants to become Moirero, comes to Mkhoinero, finishes Cheshumish, but Ebenezer. He knows, he graduates, it's an institution. When he goes into an institution, he doesn't know why he came in. You go to college, you don't know who you want to become. You're never going to become not a doctor, not a lawyer. And you're going to Kollel, and if you don't have any specific thing in mind, you don't know what you're graduating. Obviously, it's worthwhile to go to college anyway. Learning Torah in himself is an accomplishment. But you want to become a Ben Torah, at least. You're graduating to become a Ben Torah. We call marriage is an institution. What do you want to accomplish in that institution? What kind of exams? What is the yardstick of Hatzlocha? When do you know that you mitzliach in a marriage and not? Not when you live in peace, you give your money to your wife is nice to you, and you have nice children, good chinach, and you go with your wife in the carriage, you know, and Sunday afternoon on 13th Avenue, everyone is admiring you. This is not called as the yardstick of marriage. What?
What is
that? We're going to. The yardstick of marriage is what the Chazal say. Chazal tell us, Hashoyne below Yisha, which we started off, the one who is below Yisha, he's not Basar Echot. As long you're not fulfilling the Basar Echot, become one, as the Chazanish says, Yad Yamin Yad Smol, as the Maral says, it's a heart and a brain, it's one body, it's us, not you and me. It's us, one. Until there, Yisha below Yisha. Says Chazal, Hashoyne below Yisha, Shoyre b'loi Torah, Shoyre b'loi Brocha, Shoyre b'loi Simcha. You have no Torah, your Torah is worthless. You have no Brocha. What is Brocha? Brocha means Pru Urvu. Brocha means that your Metzias extends himself endlessly. So Brocha, the Brocha comes into something, and Ad Ein Gaib. Brocha means that you're living a nitzchistig life, you're not limited. And the most is b'loi simcha. Shoyre b'loi Torah, b'loi brocha, b'loi simcha. That's what Chazal tell us. Now, Torah is a little bit difficult to say the yardstick. How much Torah you have to have in order to see fulfilled Tamar Ben Torah? So everyone has a different thing. It depends on the capacity of your knowledge, of your opportunities to learn. Not everyone has the same opportunity. Not everyone is a natural amassment. Not everyone has the opportunity, the same head, and not everyone has the same opportunities to learn to begin with. And your upbringing, it's, everyone is a different level of Torah. So it's very difficult to say, okay, I'm Shoyre Misham, Boser Echot, do I have Torah? Brocha, also everyone could fool himself. What is a brocha? But one thing where we cannot fool ourselves on Simcha. Shoyre b'loi Torah, b'loi brocha, b'loi Simcha. I had once a Ingeman coming in, a big Ben Torah, a very famous Ingeman, a very Muslim Ingeman in every aspect of things. And he spoke about the problem, not marriage problem. He said, but then I led it into marriage. I told him, how about your marriage? He says, I have a wonderful marriage. I'm Mutzlach. Is your marriage fulfilled 100%? Your Torah thing? Says, absolutely. So I said, why are you coming to me now? I'm unhappy. He came for a different, he felt unhappy. So then you have no marriage. Why do you think, how could the marriage be fulfilled if you have no Simcha? Chazal tells marriage, the yardstick of atzlocha to your marriage is Simcha. Torah b'la shoyre b'la Torah b'la brocha b'la Simcha. And if I want to know, if I have fulfilled Chazal's and the Torah digger's requirement, v'olo bosar echot, if I want to know if I'm a shoyre ima isha, if I want to know the Shechina b'beisi, how do I know it? Torah? As much I know that I could know more. Brocha, how much? I really don't know. But one thing I could know, at Simcha or not. If I possess Simcha, I know I have a house. There's not shayach to have Simcha without a marriage. Loi toiv hayois odam levadoi. A man alone is a loi toiv. And the Zohar Kodesh says he can never be toiv. I always say the story. That once, when the Sklaner Rebbe, the old Sklaner Rebbe, when he lost his first Rebbetzin, and they lived together maybe for 40 years. It was a gewaldig tzedekes. The race, the hundreds of Yisraelim in Romania, she was an unbelievable woman. And Sklaner Rebbe was sitting Shiva against, for the Rebbetzin, and I went to be Menachem Ovo. I used to have certain dealings with him, selling rush packages. So I was in the Shiva. The Rebbe tells me, you know, after the Shiva, come over if you have a chance. I have to talk to you. So I thought maybe I have some business. He doesn't want to speak in the Velus, and Shiva doesn't want to speak. So I made my business right after the Shiva coming over. I came over. And he says to me, started sighing. And Krechet thinks, I lost my Rebbetzin. And the Torah says, Loi Toif, Yoi Sodom Levadoi. So now the man is Loi Toif. Alone, a man is Loi Toif. And the Zohar Kodesh says, you cannot make a Toif. You can't. I don't want to be Loi Toif. You go around, the Lord, please have your eyes open, look at Shirach for me. I got shocked. Here's a man, a sage, an alter yid, the old Jew, a Talmid Chacham, a Rebbe. He didn't need a wife for his personal services. He had plenty, he had the sons and the people around helping him. And in the Shiva, already, says, how long will I be a Loi Toif? Of course, halachically, I have to wait, Shloisha Regolim, whatever. But I don't want to be a Loi Toif. That's shlemus. It doesn't have a Shoyre b'loi Isha. Because there's no Shechina, Loi Toif Yozom Levadoi. So this is Chazal Koveya. We may think I may be happier much being alone. But we speak about happiness in Simcha. This is another Torah speaks about Simcha. Now the question says, Sampasantum says, who says you have to be happy? Who says you have to be b'Simcha? So I have no Simcha. Who says? And the Torah says very clearly, why are we in Golos to begin with? We are in Golos Tachas Asher Loi Avalot Hashem Elokecha b'Simcha v'Tov Levav Meroiv Kol. If we lack Simcha in Tov Levav, Tov means fulfilled heart, you know what you want. You're happy. You're happy for every moment of your existence. If you lack that Simcha and Tov Levav, that's Golos. That's Churban Abayis. And that, there's no cure. Nothing could help you. The first thing is you have to re-obtain Simcha Tov Levav. And you Chazal tell us, Shoyre b'Lisha, Shoyre b'Lai Torah, b'Lai Brocha, b'Lai Simcha. You can't have Simcha. So what is the criteria?
I would say, what is the yardstick? First yardstick of a successful marriage is, look at yourself, do you have simcha or not? If you have no simcha, you should know your marriage is not functioning. It's not, you're not doing well in the institution. You're not doing well in the school. Yes, you may blame everyone and everyone. Forgetting your wife, your kala, your shver, your shviger, you will claim everyone, but not yourself. Because I'm not happy. Why I'm not happy? Because he does to me and so. This is actually what we're going to start talking about. Can I build marriage? The next thing, which I want to put down as a foundation, it's a very fundamental thing to know. Sholem Bayis is not depending on two people, as far as now we're talking to ourselves. And it's preferable this, the state should speak to man, the kala should not hear, the woman should not hear. So don't be so generous, don't share it, don't give it to your kala. It's not something which they have to hear. They hear separate things, and what they hear, you shouldn't hear. One of the problems is that the Chazal is prescribing information, instruction for the man and for the woman, and everyone loves to hear somebody else's medicine. Okay, and when a couple comes for a roof that they have problems in their marriages, and he says she's not listening to Chazal. Chazal says is shekshero isir itzambala. It's not one thing that she's listening. And you speak to her, he says, he's not a man, she's not listening to Chazal. He's not machabed me. Everyone knows the instructions and the medicine which belongs to your spouse. If everyone would just would take his information, his instructions, would be wonderful. So therefore, what you speak to man, the woman shouldn't hear. What you speak to the woman, man shouldn't hear. Sholem Bayis does not depend on two people. Business, yes, if you make a business contract in a business and you give each other, I give you this, you give me this, it depends on the thing. You breach your end of the contract, I breach my end of the contract. And Sholem Bayis is not so, and it's a very important thing to remember. Sholem Bayis, all the requirements which Chazal tell us, what a man is required to give his wife and do in the house, he has to do it just like a nuchosfin, like Shmirah Shabbos. And if your wife, for some reason, antagonizes you, Shabbos, you're not going to put on a sweet Shabbos. I'm not going to have Shabbos. Ah, you did it to me? I'm going to have a Shabbos. You did it to me? I'm not going to put on film today. What is it to do? This is to me and Hashem. My chiyuvim, my responsibilities, which I have vis-a-vis my wife, which I have to give my wife according to Torah, is not depending if she's good to me or bad to me. I have to do it regardless. There's a mitzvah says in the Torah, Sheira Ksusa Venosa La Yigra. You have to take care on all her needs. Finances, clothing, support, attention, moral support, affection, and intimate needs which she needs. All of these things you require to give to your kala. It's nothing to do with what she does to you, if she deserves it or not. If she's your legitimate wife and you steal your wife, you must have to give it. It's a mitzvah seser d'oraisa. Now, when you sit Seder night, at the Seder, everything prepared, Baruch Hashem, everything is nice, and you have beautiful shmura matzos on the table, which you have a mitzvah esef and be'erev teichle matzos. If for some reason you got into school with your wife, she was not fair, she didn't make the borscht according to your taste, and she brought in your mother under the Seder table, whatever it is, you're not going to take the matzos and throw it into the garbage. I'm not giving tonight matzos because you offended me. There's nothing to do with it. Matzos is a mitzvah esef d'oraisa. The same thing is, my chiyuvim to my wife, what you have to take care of her, has nothing to do if you find it or not. You still have to do it. Unless it's an inyan of chinuch. Unless, and that you can decide, you have to educate her. Unless you deprive her of something in order to correct her. But that you are not the one to make a decision what you're allowed to do, what not allowed to do. Then you have to ask a rav. Because you have a chiyuv. You cannot decide, I'm not going to give her the paycheck this week to show her a lesson. I'm not going to feed her. I'm not going to buy her clothing. I'm not going to give her your affection which she's needed because she misbehaved. Because this is your requirement of Pitoyra to give. Now, if you feel it will be detrimental to give, she may become worse, and you feel by not giving, I will educate her, you may have a good point, but it's a shaila like any other shaila. Like you feel, if you're going to eat matzahs, you're going to spoil his stomach, and Chas Hashem could get sick. Should I eat? Should I not eat? I'm allergic to flour, whatever it is. You're going asking a shayla. It's a shayla. If you want to be mavatla mitzvah sesed right, so you have to ask a shayla. You may have a good point. And if the Rav tells you right, do it that way, you potter. But you should decide. Especially when feelings are involved, when you're totally subjective, you can't never decide, do I decide for my sake or for not for my sake, you can never be the poisek for yourself. Especially, it borders, particularly sikhan valoi sitoi, that you're actually revenging. She hurt you, you're hurting her back. Now, this is off our topic, just giving it in just the illustration also, which is people don't know it. There's such a halacha, you're not supposed to hit a Jew. If you raise a hand on a Jew, you consider it a rosha. Rosh Hashanah Sakas Recho, just by raising a hand. I want to ask you a shayla. A Jew comes into you and slaps you in your face and he walks out. And you're not in danger of getting a second patch. Are you allowed to go out and give him a patch? You're not allowed. There's nothing one has to do with another. He ate chazed. If are you going to eat chazed too? He was a Rosh, you're going to become a Rosh too? You have no right to do it. Why people do it? Because they're revenging. The overflow is sick and well a sitter. He was a Rosh, and I become a Rosh, but you're double Rosh. You're a Rosh, you were hitting a Jew. Regardless, he hit you. There's nothing to do. Plus, you're overflow is sick and well a sitter. And this is happening many times. A guy spoke on you, Lashon Hara, or embarrassed you in the Semedrash, whatever it is. You get extremely angry and mad at him. You have no right to speak back, Lashon Hara. You have no right to embarrass him back. Unless it's in self-defense. And you have to stop it, and there's no other way to stop it again. It's a matter of a shayla, but you have to be aware of it. But you just can't do it back. Unfortunately, because it involves us, our feelings, we lose our boundaries, we lose our knowledge, and we just pass through and we fail. But Baruch Hashem, it's not happening that often that someone should slap in your face in the Semedrash on the street. So you're not confronted with that test so often. But husband and wife, they are confronted with this test almost on a minute to minute. Doesn't have to go to the extreme of slapping each other and not even in shouting at each other. But it's many little itty petty things which in normal situation I would gladly give it to her and give it to her and show it to her and make it feel good, because that's the mitzvah sesed ra'isa. The inyan, the Chazon Ish's kaveya, every type says in his letter very clearly. In Gedor to Mitzvah's Oina, there's a mitzvah in Oina to fulfill the wife's needs. Every need goes in the mitzvah of Oina. To say a good evening, to say a good day, to make her happy, to bring a smile on her face, and if it's needed, that's the mitzvah's Esser for an Osama Sigra. And it's not something she deserves it or not. If this is your wife, this is your chayuvim, which you have to do. And we usually fail. Because for us, this is a business partnership. You give me, I give you, it's a give and take. And as long as it's a give and take, you know, we fail. It hurts. But when we look at it in Toiridik, and I'm entering into marriage, and this institution which is called the Smoysed Elokai, which is called Nisuan, that the Masha Shemit Arbeisi, depends that I will do my chiyuvim. Forget about her chiyuvim. She has to learn her chiyuvim. But my chiyuvim has to be met regardless what she is doing, what she is not doing. I have to learn what my chiyuvim is. And the better job you do, the more you are fulfilling, you're bringing down Shechina into your house. This is the next thing which we have to remember. There's a mitzvah. I'm putting down many numbers, many things which may not directly so much involve marriage, which it is l'chayre, but in order to understand the foundation of marriage. The foundation of marriage, the contents of marriage, obviously, is a hava, love. Chazal tell us, a man has to love his wife, a hava kagufay, imchav liyaysim kagufay. A man has to love his wife as he loves himself. He has to respect his wife more than he respects himself. That means, if he has money to buy one outfit, either for himself, either for her, she comes first. That's the mitzvah of kovet. Why? We will try to explain, and if I forget, make a point of it and ask, why do we have to be mechabed? Why kovet has to be given more to the woman, more respecting the woman? Now, where does the mitzvah come for hava kagufay? It's a mitzvah sesed raisa. Where is the mitzvah sesed raisa coming from? Chazal, the Rabban tells the opposition, hava kagufay, chadiyosim, gifas chazal, skaveya. Where is the mitzvah in the Torah? Which state is in the Torah? The Torah states, Sherek Siso Nosa, Lo Yigra. give her needs. But where does the Torah say that you have to be a haver? The Torah doesn't speak about a husband has to love his wife, a wife has to love her husband. Doesn't say. So where is it saying? Does anyone think of idea? Where does it? Where is the mitzvah in the Torah stated? What would you say? It's a mitzvah eser deraisa v'hafter l'reyachu kamoicho. And this is the biggest mitzvah, the klal gol sheva Torah. In that mitzvah, there isn't a bigger reyacho than your wife and than your husband. It's your closest person. Now here, I'm going to elaborate a little bit on the word ahava and the mitzvah after reyachu kamoicho, because actually, this is the foundation. We know there's a machlokes in Gemara in Shabbos. Two people are going in the desert, and they are away from civilization. There's no water. But one of them took a bottle of water with himself, and he has enough water to get out from the desert, and he could survive. But his friend has no water. His friend gonna die. If he's gonna drink the water, he's gonna survive. His friend's gonna die. Shall he share the water? Because after reyachu kamoicho, you have to love him as you love yourself. Why should you drink? What if you may die? What should you do? What should be done? So there's a machlokes. Rebbe Tira says, he says, Yishtu shneim va'al yir b'meisas chaveroi. Both of them should drink. You shouldn't see your friend dying. But suppose you should drink and the next one should die. Because the domer doch simchit fei, that your blood is more red than his. What right do you have to preserve yourself on the cheshbon of him? If both you're going to drink, you may die. Okay, you have to do what you have to do. You share the water. V'after achu kamoicho. Re'achu is kamoicho. He's like you. You have no preference, no superiority at all. Even if it's your water, you have to share it. You may die, you die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it. It's a miracle going to happen. That's what Ben Petura says. Comes Rebbe Akiva, and we pass like Rebbe Akiva, so the Pasuk says, V'chai ochicho imach. Your brother should make sure your brother should live with you. Imach chayecho kod, your life comes first. So he says, it's true that after reyachu kamoicho, what pshat is in kamoicho, first there has to be a kamoicho. First, you're responsible to yourself, and you have to love yourself. And here's a big foundation. Why had the Torah founded the whole mitzvah for havas azulas, to love somebody else, starts with kamoicho? Shem says, you know, the Christians, they speak day and night about love. But them love is expressed, you love somebody more than you love yourself. You give your life to somebody. That's by them, it's a fictive love. This is a man-made love. That's love, which they call love. I give my life for you. That's not love that the Torah speaks. The Torah says, V'ahavta l'reyachu kamoicho. You have to love your friend as you love yourself, not more. And if there is one of them, either his life, either my life, V'pasner v'kiva, chayecho kodmin. Your life comes first. We learn from here a gewaltige principle, that if a man does not know how to love himself, if a person does not know how to appreciate himself, he could never share love with somebody else. That's not love. And let's explain it first. Let's take the secular terminology of love. What is the secular terminology of love? You see many some bumper stickers? I love my Volvo. I love my house. Okay, I love my horse, I love my dog, I love my wife. It's all in the same love category. I love my wife, I love my Volvo. When I get rid of the Volvo, I get rid of my wife. That's all. It's nothing. What is this called love? Is this called love? And it goes further, you know, this is the seldom story we saw Salam Terech. I used to say to many, many people that somebody saw somebody eating fish, the gate appetite, ate the fish with the back trainer, ate the fish, he said, why are you eating the fish? So I said, what do you mean? I love the fish. I love them. I love the fish. He says, if you love the fish, why are you cooking? Why are you frying? Put them back to the water. This is called love. So this is loving the fish, he's loving himself. He's loving himself by destroying, by eating the fish. If you love chocolates, why eat them up? Keep them in the fridge. Preserve them. It's self-love. The same thing, you love your wife too. So before we start about thinking of the mitzvah, you have to love your wife, we have to determine what does it mean, love. The secular world, I told it, imagine, speaking for an audience of very intelligent people, secular people. This was a Shabbos. 70 people, there was lawyers, doctors, very intelligent people, young, intelligent, computer science, you name it. And I went out, challenge me, and I say, the word love does not exist in the secular world. Outside the Torah definition, love does not exist. Does not exist, you could talk about it till tomorrow. And the best proof, you know, nobody's happy. And happiness, simcha and ahava, and love goes together. Wherever there is no self-love, wherever there is no self-appreciation, you can't give love. And if you can't give love, you can't have simcha betov levav. I'm just putting down the statement, the explanation will come further. But remember this, put it down as a note. It goes like a step-up letter. The first thing is, you have to know who you are. And you have to appreciate yourself. You have to develop kumoicho, ahavas atzmi. You have to love yourself. After, when you appreciate yourself, you know who you are, then you could share the love with somebody else. And only after, when you share the love with somebody else, then you gain simcha. What does it mean simcha v'tov levav? What does it mean simcha v'tov levav? What does it mean simcha? I don't know how would you translate in English the word simcha. Could anyone give me an English translation? Happiness, okay? Not enjoyment. Happiness would be. And the same statement I say, there's no happiness in the secular world. Outside the Torah world, happiness does not exist. Simcha v'tov levav does not exist. Why? And the answer is, suppose I could keep a dialogue, I would be shleim of the dialogue I'm choosing. So then, describe me. I'm going to a restaurant. Which restaurant do you love to go in? Well, you have a choice of food. You could choose. Nobody likes to go to a restaurant. There's only one menu because you can't choose. You're not going to go into a clothing store. There's only one shirt and one suit. You love to go into a store. There's a selection. People love to choose. So what are we doing all day long? We're choosing. So why I'm not happy? That's the mistake. You don't know what choosing means. Because what are you choosing? And I bring the illustration. Suppose you put down in front of you, you're thirsty. You bring a 7-Up, you bring a cup of coffee, a cup of tea. It says bitter. Take whatever you like. You're happy. You could take anything you want. So you're choosing. And you choose whatever you like. And you think, you pretend that you're happy because you got an opportunity to choose. Had you really chosen? You took what you liked. Had you really chosen? Is that called Bechira? Has that called that you utilize the gift of a human being that he is choosing, and therefore you happy? I'm asking you. Is it called Bechira? And people say, why not? That's what people want. The answer is absolutely no. It's true that you choose what you like, but you never chose what to like. That's conditioned in you. I choose what I like, but I never choose to like what I like. People smoke cigarettes and they get killed with it, and they don't want it, they don't like it. They have no choice, they must smoke cigarettes. You put it on, say yes, you know, so he's choosing. What he's choosing, I like the cigarettes, but he doesn't like what he likes. If you put on a lion, put on a three-story chocolate cake, and put on a rotten blue piece of meat, does he have a free choice? Could he take the three-story chocolate cake? He could never take it. He would only take the meat, because he has no free choice, he's conditioned. Same thing is, a man is a little animal. A man is conditioned in everything and anything which he likes. And when you put a choice, so you're going to a restaurant because you want to have a selection of various foods. What will you choose? You choose what you liked, what you like, but you never choose what to like. And then what's happening if you choose the food what you like? You momentarily, you're happy, but after that you're regretting. Again, I was a pig, I took on a few extra pounds and I left $20 in the restaurant, and I could have had a little bagel or something in my house, I could have saved all the money, it would be healthier too. That's what you go through continuously. So while you make the physical materialistic choice, which is not a choice, you're conditioned, you may be momentarily happy, after that you're unhappy, and your simcha v'tov levav is gone. Simcha v'tov levav is gone. Now let's take it the other way. The Torah expresses free choice in a total different terminology, not between Coca-Cola and coffee, and not between chocolate cake or meat. The Torah says the man's free choice is being expressed in the Torah. The Kushbok says, I put in front of you to choose life or death, good and bad. It's up to you to choose life. Do we understand it? And we have to understand Torah, because we're not talking here philosophy, we're not talking here, unfortunately, we're learning so many things which is not that relevant to us. And as the Chaim Savora says, and even the Mesivus Hashorim, even Torah thinks we are busy learning things, which we should be. But he says, but why don't you learn first thing which is absolutely relevant to you? How could the Torah tell me, look man, I put in front of you free choice between life and death. Does any one of us have free choice between life and death? The only thing really which on the surface that we have no free choice is life and death. Does anyone have control if it gets up tomorrow morning or not? Does anyone have control if it's just dropping dead this moment? Nobody has control over that. So how does the Torah say there is free choice? In nothing else. The Torah never expresses free choice in any other area. However, to explain that, and we have to explain it in order to get to our point. And if you're not getting this time, you're going to get next week. The free choice of life and death is, if you let's define the word life, what is life? Anything which is zmani, temporary, is not life. What is life? You're living. Take this moment. I'm asking you, are you living this moment? Are you living this moment? Yes? How do you know you're living? How do you know you're living? Really? Look at the watch. Yes, but while you breathe, the watch is moving. The second the watch moved, you died. Yes? This second that you live is gone. Dead. We're not living for 70 years. We're dying for 70 years. That's all. We keep dying. You come to this world in a hospital, you end up in the grave. That's all. Every second you're getting closer to your grave. It's a lengthy death. It's a disease of 70, 80, 90 years. Some have it easy, some have it easy. So why are you living? Why are you living? I'll just give you an halachical illustration. Suppose somebody goes, Mr. A takes Mr. B, throws him down the Empire State Building. Boom. It throws him out. And the guy is falling down, and there's no chance of survival. No chance. Of course, he's going to have to show up. It's finished. No, the guy is diving down on the 50th story. Somebody comes with a shotgun and kills him. Kills him. Who is the Ratzeach? Al Pi Torah. Who is the one? Is Oivre Froisirzach. The one who shot him at the 50th while he was diving down, or the one who threw him down? What would you say? The Saloch, we're talking here to Gemara. Who is the Ratzeach? No.
No.
Not Goyrim. Goyrim not. It's not enough Goyrim. But the Gemara says, Gavre ketile kokotil. You killed a dead person. The minute the guy was thrown down, he was already a dead person. It's a matter of time. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It was Gavre ketile kokotil. He killed a dead person. He was destined to his death. And if it would take 10 years to come down the Empire State Building, it would be the same halacha. It's not time is the element. No question, from the 50th story to come down is still 5 minutes, let's say. In fact, you're not allowed to do it. It's preventing life. You're not allowed to do it, by the way. Don't do it. Don't shut anyone if you fly down. But the leisirtzach of the Seres of Dibre is you're not over. It's a different, it's also like abortion with others. But the leisirtzach is the one who threw him down. Why? And because he killed the Gavre Ketile. If somebody takes a man which is treifer, halachadik treifer, halachadik treifer, kruma moyach, or the ray, or whatever it happens to him, which can't live longer than 12 months, and he kills him in 6 months, he's not over. If he knows definitely he's treifer, there's no leisirtzach. Gavre Ketile kokotel, that's the halacha. That's the halacha. Here I'm asking a very interesting question. So any Ratzeach walks over to a person who kills them, why should he be Ratzeach? Wouldn't he die? Every person is destined to die. What's the difference? We've been thrown down from the Empire State Building with the minute we were born, and it takes to dive down to the grave, 70, 80, 90 years. But we're all in dive. We're all on the way to our grave. So why would somebody go over to somebody who kills them? Why is he a Ratzeach? Why? And I give you other interesting halacha. Here is a man, 90 years old, 100 years old, a vegetable, is goises. Bar Menachem is goises, he's on his bed, dead back, and he's ready to die. And comes a man, wants to pull the plug a minute before, he's a Ratzeach. Comes a man, and he tries to kill him, mercy killing, he doesn't want to go through the suffering. And comes Shnei Edim Kshelim, two kosher witnesses, says, in the Masreim, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash Sanhedrin, don't you kill him, you're going to be murdered, you're going to be killed, you're going to get... Because you're killing a live man. And he went and he killed him 1 minute before he should have passed out in other ways. at the age of 100, he's a regular Ratzayach, and he could be a young man, 30 years old, he could have 10 little children, and if he had the proper Hasrovi to Edim Ksherim, he's been killed. It was Eivir HaFalei Sirtach. How do you understand this? And we have to understand because we have to define what life is. The answer is, what is living? What is called chiyus in a man? When Hashem gave him life and death to choose, you want to utilize life every moment. This old man, he has still a moment in front of him, and he was not compelled to die a forceful death. Hashem gave life, and he could pray an extra moment, he could do tshuva in one moment, he could do many, he could be boicher b'chaim. And if you take away that moment, you take away a moment of bechira, a moment that he had bechira, he could commit suicide, he could go out living. His life is in his own hand. Eliminated 1 minute of this bechira, you kill the person. Because the person, the value of a person is bechira, is a boicher. Boicher b'chaim l'movis. However, when a person was forced to die, he was thrown down, even he lives for the next 6 months, but he is plunging to his death, he has an eliminated bechira. It's not leisitzach. Comes out, the whole chiyus of a person is bechira. Bechira between chaim l'movis, soon we're going to explain further, and only, as we said, we established the fact, happiness could only be obtained when you utilize your qualifications. In man's, what is a man's qualification? Not to be a robot, is a boicher ben chaim l'movis. And if you take that away, it's nothing. So in order to get simcha v'tov levav, you have to be a boicher. Now, what does mean boicher ben chaim l'movis? Bacham to bachaim. A man has two components. Has a body and has a neshama. A yid has a chelek l'chaim v'mal. And that neshama is nitzchias, lives forever, never dies. Never dies. Now, every moment of my life, I could choose, who do I want to live now? Do I want to live my body? Do I want to service my body? Do I identify myself with my body? What did I do? I identified myself with a dead element, because this body is destined to his grave. This body is dying. It's a continuous death. I always say, when I speak to secular people, I ask them, why do people make birthday parties? Can anyone explain? Why people make birthday parties? What's the logic behind it? You're happy, it's a big deal, what is a birthday party? What is the happiness? Simkos emazo oiser. What is a person? A person is destined to die. A judge tells him, you're going to be killed, electric chair. So the guy is devastated. But don't worry, they're going to put you on a train. Until you get there, it's about 70 stops, and every stop you have a little, you could make, because Machalim, Disney World, free. 70 stops. So what does a man like that do? Every stop he's celebrating. He's celebrating. What's the celebration for? There's nothing but to celebrate. What's the point of a birthday? You're making birthday. Got 1 year older. So 1 year you're getting closer to your death, to your levaya. Every one of us will have a funeral. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Who needs this miserable world forever? Baruch Hashem, we don't know when and what and where. But everyone has it. So comes a birthday, you got a station closer, you're making a birthday party. What are you making a party for? What's the simcha? If anything, it wouldn't be that more logical that you should make a mini funeral, a mini levai every birthday. A bake 1 year behind me. So the Valdi Gazach, we call our friends, we call our family, we call a roof, let's see if a husband. At least I could rebuttal him, I could ask, I could improve, I could do it. He's going to tell me what I'd accomplished, what I didn't accomplish. What's the point of making a birthday party? And the answer is, there is a point, there is a reason to make it, if you're boicher b'chaim. If you elect to live this body, yes, you should make a mini funeral, because 1 year is gone, you're never going to see it again. But if you boicher to live the neshama, the nishmas chaim, the everlasting neshama, every second you live, Hashem gave me life, which is eternity, and I'm boicher that, that's something else. Every moment you could be boicher b'chaim. Now, although it's not the topic of marriage, but it is, because that's the beginning of Ahava. I'm still busy explaining the Kumoicho, love yourself. And the reason why we don't love ourselves, and we make a mess of our life, because we don't know what we are playing around with, what we are totally misusing and abusing. What does mean Bachar to Bachar, live life? This moment, I'm not talking now live life for 100 years. In front of me, I go out on 13th Avenue. In front of me, a minute. On 13th Avenue corner, I could be boicher b'movis, totally ignoring the need, the specification of my neshama,
I go after my physical body, go to the pizza shop, pick up some acquaintance, get into trouble, whatever it is. See, you have a wonderful 5 moments, 50 moments, you got your belly filled with pizza, it's gone, it's dead. The money is dead, your belly is dead, and everything is dead. It's all gone. At the same time, you could utilize the next time 50 minutes, come walk into Shalahedas, here or she, Torah, go into the Semedesh, go into the liquid Koilel, take a Chavrusa, and get a Mesilas Hashori, Machavosi Boilomi, make a Cheshman HaNefesh. And suppose you start learning, and you get excited, and you come to a seminar, you come to a shir, and because of excitement of Ahava, you're doing tshuva me'ahava. And what happened to tshuva me'ahava? Chazal tell us, Zadonoisim, Nasmok, Zochas. All the Avedis become mitzvahs. All Avedis, now what does all Avedis become mitzvahs? So again, I'm explaining something which doesn't belong to the shir, but it does belong. The Kumoicho. Before we're not going to establish what my life is worth, I can't give a haver. If I don't love myself, if I don't appreciate myself, I can't love my wife, I can't love my fellow friend, and I can't love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because first I have to know what I am worth. And Hashem says, you know what you are worth? You could choose life. And I don't know why I could choose life. Can we choose life? He'll be speaking out. We're dying every moment. The answer is yes. And I'll tell you how. Chazal tells us in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Gemara tells us there was once a Rosh called the Lozer Ben Durdayo. He didn't left a veil which he didn't do. He did the worst aveiros at the most expense. Once he was middle doing a terrible aveir at a high expense. He's being told while he was doing the aveir, he was being told by the person which he was with, you, Elozmeridai, lost forever. You can never get back. You can never do tshuva. For some reason it strikes him. For some reason he ran off, the Gemara says, he ran off to the woods. Started asking the Horim with the Shemesh, with the Levona, with the Nehoras, please pray for me. Every time we can't pray for you, we're busy for ourselves. Finally, he says, if I'm not going to do it, nobody's going to take care of me. Samus Rishoysa ben Arkavoysa, he put his head between his two knees and he started crying and crying and crying, doing tshuva. Until Yotzeso Nishmosa, his Neshama flew out. Yotzeso Baskol came out of Baskol. Shrecho. Reb Elozer ben Dodai, the sage, Reb Elozer ben Dodai, Shemizuman v'chai oylam abo. He's going to make it forever, made it forever. Bocho Rebbe. Rebbe heard that baskol, and Rebbe cried. Yesh koine olam abo kamashonim. There are people who have to work all their years in order to be koine their world. Yesh koine olam abo b'sho echos. There are, you could buy your world in 1 second. In 1 second to buy this world. It's not enough to Baal Tshuva that Hashem accepted him. Who's smoking there? Somebody there is smoking. You call him Rebbe? It's not enough to Rebbe Kekore, you call him Rebbe? So this is what's the pshat? Why was he a Rebbe? Because obviously Lozman Ben Dodai. When he did tshuva, did tshuva me'ahava. Because tshuva me'ahava, the tshuva out of love, every aveda becomes a mitzvah. Every aveda becomes a mitzvah. Now, I would ask a question. If this story was at the age of 90, Rosendai was old 90 years when he did it. How old was this Rebbe Rosendai? It was a 1 minute Rebbe. 1 minute Rebbe. And what 90 years? At best, it was erased, forgotten. It's a mistake. He became a 90-year Rebbe Elozer ben Dodai. Every aveda which he had done in the past became a mitzvah. And if he had 1 million aveiras, he got 1 million mitzvahs. And this is what Rebbe cried. Yesh koine oilomoi. You could buy your life b'sho echos in 1 minute. You know what the moment of life is worth? B'chavta b'cham, choose life. You know whose life you have to choose? Your own life. You could be 20 years old, you could be 30 years old, you could have messed up your entire life, you could have 1 million aveiros. In 1 minute, you could take 25 years of loaded aveiros, convert them into 25 years of loaded mitzvahs. Every aveiro becomes a mitzvah. Such a beautiful gift. I say, imagine you could buy a device in a radio shack or whoever it is, a device which promises you that every dollar you ever earned in your life and you spent, you could make them back by pushing a button. Imagine such a possibility. So you figure out, you had spent in your life already a few $100,000. Paid so much mortgage, take a 50-year-old man, how much you had spent in his lifetime. And how much is worth such a device? Could anyone say? Put anyone a value? So I could have put a value, you know. Suppose I spent in my lifetime $500,000. I would pay $450,000 for it, because I make $50,000 profit. I spent $450,000, I got back $500,000. At least I made $50,000 profit. So it's worth $450,000, right? But suppose this device stays with you and you could continue to push this button. You made one button, you got $500,000. Then you push again the button, you get another $500,000. Again, another $500,000. Can this device have any value? Does it have a price tag? It's priceless. Because if you could stay with this device for the next 30 years, and every minute you push the button, and every minute you're producing $500,000, what is worth such a device? This is exactly what device Hashem gave us. This device is called Tshuva. This is called Bechartu Bechayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us opportunity, such a kit which is called Tshuva Me'ahava. If I do Tshuva out of love, all my past life, with all my avarice in it, gets converted into mitzvahs. And if I have another moment of life and I do continue Tshuva, gets reconverted into mitzvahs. In another moment, gets again reconverted into mitzvahs. Do you imagine who I am? Do I love myself? Imagine you walk out with such a device that every minute you push, you get all your money you ever spent in your life, you get it back. You would dance. You would be on clouds. You would be the Simcha V'Tov Levav. You would be the happiest person in your life. The boy said, it's me. That's you. That's the Kumaycho. Elokai Nishom Hashem Esata V'Tohiri Ato Brosa Ato Yitzavta Ato Nefachti Ato Neshamra V'Kirbi. I have a Neshamra. Now how does this work? Because the minute I choose to live the Neshama is Nitzchi, is eternity, never dies. Nitzchi is, you know, we have usually an imagination. Nitzchi means I'm going to stay forever, forward. Nitzchi also goes backward. If I look at myself that I am a part of Netzach, I have a Neshama, it's a part of the future. The future is not that, it's also the past. I may be 50 years old. But if I choose to live life, B'charta b'chaim, I choose to live the neshama, then you went into the world of eternity. Yesh koyne oylomoy, I could take all my past life and even negative saveris. Why? Because I do tshuva mehava out of appreciation to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu, you gave me such a beautiful gift, I should not utilize it. I'm excited to do tshuva. I want to get back to you. Now, if you get this device, for instance, where you push the button, you get all your spent money back, do you have to be warned, you better push the button, and if you're going to go to jail? You would push the buttons dancing and singing all along. You will push it because you know what you're getting back. Now, it's emotional, but it's literally the truth. That's unfortunate that we don't understand the basic hashkofa, that what a Jew is. That why are we usually depressed and unhappy? Why? Because you utilize, I said, what is bechira? What is a person's yumink? It's bechir b'chaim. He's choosing life. In a minute you don't choose life, you can't be happy because you don't exist. You're not living, you're just existing, just like the flower. You're just existing. You grow, you do things like the monkey, like a robot, like a figure on the television. But you're not choosing. How could you say so? So I'll prove it to you. Take 1,000 people, look at them, and cross-examine them, and you see how do people live. You will see any moment, you take a person in a moment life, and say, you see, this person does not live this moment. The person lives either on the past, either on the future, but not this moment. Either he's under the influence of yesterday's guilt and is depressed, either he's high because of the future fantasies. He's fantasizing, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get excited, I'm going to get a car, I'm going to do this, or whatever it is. A person is either depressed because of his past messy life, either he's high on fantasies of the future. What do you do now? Nothing. He's only reflecting experience of yesterday or imagination of tomorrow, but today is nothing. And this goes on moment to moment. Comes up, people don't exist, people don't live. Of course you can't be happy, you're not utilizing your life. You can't have a simcha v'tov levav. There's missing the kamoich, self-appreciation. How can you live this moment? Yes, I could use the yesterday's guilt as an indication what to do now. Yesterday I messed up. And Hashem tells to me, listen, Nishkefelach, you messed up yesterday, Taka, but you know, you could recapture it today. You could first erase it if it's not so excited to tshuva mi yira. Okay, it's being erased. But if you get tshuva mehava, if you appreciate that you could be boicha b'chaim, you recapture the yesterday's do it. And yesterday's avodah becomes today a mitzvah. That's simcha v'tzalavot. Now you live this moment. We use the yesterday's guilt as indication what to do now, and we may use the fantasies of tomorrow, again, indication of what I have to do now in order to reach that to tomorrow. But I'm living today. I'm living this moment. Yesh koin yo lomoy v'sho echos. Hashem gave me another moment. Duplicate the same mechanism. Push a button again. You could do it again. You could do it again. I always tell the story because it illustrates itself at best. The story of the harvest is the old vision for Rebbe. Was a big Oy Yisroel. And his style was, when he used to do a Toivis for a Yid, asking a Brocha, he used to ask, what are you doing good something, keeping Shabbos or whatever it is? So he used to negotiate a Kodesh Baruch Hu, listen, you have to help him, he's doing keeping Shabbos, he's learning. So once a bum and nothing, keeping nothing, came to him, Rebbe, you need a Brocha, the Shunya, listening to the Armenian army. And he says, Rebbe, tell me, you're keeping Shabbos? Ah, can I keep Shabbos? The football game goes on Shabbos. Are you eating kosher? McDonald's is cheaper. Are you putting on tefillin? Where's the head for tefillin? Whatever he asked, he got a negative answer. He got not one positive answer. So the Rebbe was still a Yisrael, still wanted to do a favor for this Jew, but he wanted to find something positive. He wanted to wake him up. So finally, he tells him, ah, Yid, I'm so mekani, I'm so envying you, I'm so jealous at you. You don't know what you have possessed, you don't know what you have in your hands. So the Rebbe, what is there that you could envy me so much? The Gemara says, I don't want those tshuva mehava, just tshuva of love. All these avodas become mitzvahs. Imagine if you should only decide right now to do tshuva out of love, you become a bigger rebbe than I am because you have more avodas than I have mitzvahs. Just make a decision. You could repurchase, you could reacquire all your past. You can instantly you could become a tzaddik ador. Instantly, like a love of the dial. So what is the full answer? Rebbe, wait the other year, you're going to envy me even more. So he says, no, that's not going to work because the Mishnah says, Echtu v'yoshiv, Ema speaking with Asif, says, hey, I have time, I'm going to do tshuva in the end. Then they don't help him. Because to do tshuva, you need a lot of help in Hashemayim too. Somebody makes a chet calculatingly, I'm not afraid, I have time, I'm going to do tomorrow tshuva, then he doesn't have the siyata to Hashemayim. But actually, that's the message. Now, I'm asking myself, Kumoicha, why do I love myself? When I get up in the morning, and let's say I go to sleep tonight, and I said, Rabbi Yishalayim, you gave me a neshama, you gave me this device, I could have pushed a button every second, I could have been boicher b'chaim, I could have chosen my own life, I could have recycled my own life every second, I could take all my past life and transform into the 50 years of mitzvahs, in the next moment, again 50 years of mitzvahs, in the next moment, again 50 years of mitzvahs. Did I do it? Why should you give me back this neshama tomorrow? Why do I deserve it? You say Krishna, you say make a cheshma nefesh, and you really worry. Do I deserve to get back this beautiful gift tomorrow? And tomorrow you wake up and you're alive? Of course, what is the first word which you say? I'm thanking you. Give me back the gift. You trusted me again? Okay, maybe today I'm going to utilize it better. That's the Kumaycho. When a Jew understands who he is and what he is, and appreciates, I'm a chilek and a kaim imal, I'm a part of God, I'm a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eben Neshama, and it's not gaiva, it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you have this komoicho respect on you, how can you ever not love a fellow Jew just like you? Why you look down a guy? You guy, you bum, you did this and this, you fool. The more you did, the more richer you could become. If you're better than him, you could never capitalize the seed. If you respect yourself, you love yourself because you are a recycler, you are, let's say, you transmitting, I call it transforming awareness into mitzvah. So you have 100 mitzvahs, you're getting 100 mitzvahs. Why are you hating the next fellow guy? He's a bum. He did this, he did this. You fool, but you could envy him. If he does tshuva mehava, he becomes a greater person than you. I'm a mokom shabal tshuva on him. In other words, the reason why we hate a guy, the reason why we can't stand a fellow person, is actually the reason that you should love him if you love yourself. Because the potential which you see in you and you appreciate yourself and you're proud of yourself, the same thing is in the other fellow guy. Even better, because the more look at that, even more potential he has. So that's what Rebbe Akiva says, Chaychi Chayechu Kodmin. We have to try to put, and interesting, when this Ger came to this Hillel, Garein al Nasha Oymer Daregel Echos, convert my Lord, so long I'm standing on one foot. What does it mean? He's trying to tell me in few words what Yiddishkeit is. What is the gift of Judaism, which the Goy doesn't have? Don't give me seminars, don't give me long lectures. Tell me in a few words, what is the advantage of a Yid? to tell them, what you hate for yourself, don't do for your fellow friend. In other words, he told him, that's the biggest principle. Because the first principle, that's what you don't like, everything has to start with you. You have to know who you are. And it's one of the reasons why we are not born married couples. Why are we not born married couples? Why are we are not married at the age of 10, 12, 13, 14? Because first you have to learn who you are. Adam HaRishon was created alone, and Adam HaRishon was enticed to look into the world and to try to satisfy himself with anything which he could. And as Chazal tell it, Kosh Boko put all the creatures in front of him and he tested every one of them. That's what Chazal says. Boal Kulam, Veloy Motso, Koyra Suach. He didn't find satisfaction. He couldn't develop himself, he couldn't feel, he couldn't give. He was not fulfilled. And only after, when he saw that he's so lonely, that what am I? I am a Tzelem Elokai, if God is in me. If I'm God is in me, Zalachta Bedrochov, he should go in his way. Ma'u Rachum, Afato Rachum. Ma'u Chanan, Afato Chanan. In one word, if you have God is in you, Musibshat, just like Hashem is a giver and enjoys the act of giving, so you are a giver. You enjoy the act of giving. If you really appreciate yourself, what you pray, the Neshama, the difference between the neshama and the body is two extremes. The body loves to take, selfish, in every one of us. If anyone tries to say the other way, it is lying. We are animals, and we are rotten animals. We are brutal and cruel and selfish. That's the way we were born. And nothing to be embarrassed. What should I do? That's what Hashem made me. If you look at this animal, he would grab the whole world. Look at it. The first two men came into the world, born natural people, was Cain and Abel. That was the two first men. What happened? I mean, one killed the other. That's what happened. They couldn't share the world. Cain wanted the whole world. Abel was standing in his way. The first two natural people born into this world for a mother, natural birth, which was Cain and Abel. Cain couldn't stand Abel. Why? Because Adam Perolad, a person has been born a wild little animal. This is the body. This body is a wild animal. Me, I'm a wild animal. But at the same time, the Yipar Ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim, Kodesh Baruch Hu had blown into me a Nishmas Chaim, everlasting Neshama. And that everlasting Neshama is a Chelek Elokim Imal. And what is that expressing? The direct opposite. Hashem is fulfilled, Hashem is complete. Hashem does not take anything, he doesn't need anything. One thing which he does need, that's what Chazal tell us. Why did he create the world? Hayois Hashem is Toiv, Hashem is good, and the essence, the nature of goodness is to bestow goodness, and he didn't have to who to give. This is Chazal. In the Mesilas, in the Ramchal brings it down in Derech Hashem. Why Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world? Hayois Hashem is Toiv, Tachlis HaToiv LeHeitiv, the essence of goodness is to goodness. So the only reason why Hashem created us, in order should have a chance to give. He enjoys the act of giving. Of course, then he made so the world that the world should deserve the taking. Because receiving, but not deserving, you don't appreciate the receiving. And if you don't appreciate the receiving, he doesn't enjoy the act of giving. When you give somebody a gift, you want the recipient to appreciate the gift. So you do that, he should appreciate the gift. Hashem made it complicated. The life gave us a Yetzer Tov, and gave us a Yetzer Hara, and gave us Schar V'Oyrish, gave us Mitzvahs, and gave us, in order that whatever we receive, Schar, should be enjoyful. But the more a joyful, rewardful it becomes to us, the more Hashem is happy because he had an opportunity to give. That's the whole Taklus HaBriyah. Hashem created the world in order to give. And when Hashem, the Torah says, V'yivro Elokim es Odom Betzalmoy, Kosh Boko created the man in his image. He put in an image into this man. Godness, what does it mean? He blow into the man a neshama that he loves to give. In other words, a yid which has these two neshamas, the nefesh abaham is everlasting neshama which loves to take, and the nefesh alakai which loves to give. And that's a paradox. Every person has a split koyches. There is an inclination to take, that's the animal, and there's an inclination to give, that's the tzelem alakai, and that's the bechira. Every time when you take, because you feed the animal, you are dying. Because what are you doing when you take? You put him into the body. The body is a dying element. That's morbid. The body goes to death. Anytime when you stop taking, or you are taking in order to give more. Doesn't mean you have to stop taking. We are human beings. We have to take care of the body. But the taking is not the goal. Taking is a means to the goal. You take in order to give more. You boichel b'chaim. I'm living the neshama. I continuously want to give. You continuously want to give. Then you are a giver. And that actually is the complexity that's the most brutal challenge which we go through in life. The chira, free choice, that's the essence of a man. All the other things, that's the challenge of a person's life. Love your friend as you love yourself. But if you don't love yourself, that means if you're mistreating yourself, you're giving to your body, not giving to your neshama, you otherwise you are a taker instead of a giver in yourself. By the way, I myself have this paradox. When I'm taking, I'm dying. When I'm giving with my chilika, I'm living. That's b'chav to b'chaim. That's the komaycha. And only then, when can I bestow goodness on a fellow person? When can I enjoy the act of giving for the sake of giving? When there's a komaycha, when for myself, I'm also giving and not taking. I'm giving up of my body, I'm giving up of my comfort of material in order to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the mitzvahs. I'm boicher b'chaim. So therefore the komaycha is the first requirement in marriage. If you don't know yourself, and one of the first big mistakes is when people getting married and they think the marriage is a rehabilitation center. Everything which I was lacking and missing in my private life, my wife is going to give it to me. Oh boy. You were in trouble before, now two people are going to be in trouble. If you think marriage is going to give you, we entering into marriage in order to become givers, to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to learn the art how to enjoy the act of giving. It's giving for the sake of giving. And, yes, we are allowed to receive. When the receiving is helping us to give more. If the receiving is contradicting the giving, you better stop taking. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give a man a woman, which the woman is a giving woman, and a man is being deprived, he doesn't receive anything, as long as you're married to this woman, you have no right to stop giving. Because that is the goal of life, just to become a giver. Now, when the Chazal say, now there's a very interesting phenomenon in nature. Rav Dessler speaks about it. How could Hashem command a person, love me, after Hashem Alekecho, after Achu Kamoicho? How could Hashem command a person, love a fellow man? Suppose I don't love him. How could Hashem command so? Says Rav Dessler, Hashem had instilled in nature, in people so, which we see, we all experience this, that when you give something to somebody, the more you give to that somebody, the more you get love to that somebody. It's connected. If you want to get an interest in a person, I always say a man comes, but I don't love my wife. You say, you know what? Because you never gave her anything. Why didn't I give her this? You gave in order to take. It was a business deal. You never give it for the sake of giving. Because whenever we give the sake of giving, the love develops. If a mother has 10 children, and one is a retarded child, and people are busy, the family is busy with the child 24 hours a day, and the child gives nothing back except headaches, a sleepless night, which is the most loved child in that family? That sick child. Why? Because we give him. And we give something, you get real love. That's the Matthias. That's the rule of nature. God created so man that if you give something to somebody, you get an interest in that somebody. So if you take to yourself, you give to yourself, you get a love to yourself. You're not interested in nobody else. So a hava could be developed. This secular term of father, you go out with a girl and you fall in love and only then you're getting married. That could never develop. Love comes after marriage. Love comes only after when you have the opportunity to give. And the more you are married and the more you give, and you give even when she does not deserve, then it's even a greater act of marriage. Therefore, Hashem, that's going to be the second lecture. The way Hashem made so complicated marriages. As long a man is alone, a man alone is no good. He can't bestow goodness. We could never bring the climax of this challenge of give and take unless in a married life. Private life, you could always escape and you could always fool yourself. Therefore, there's no simcha. Why is no simcha in a private, in not married life? Because you're not utilizing your gift. You're not utilizing your koicha bechira. The more you put yourself in the battlefield, that you're confronted with a give and a take, it is only in a married life. Because only in a married life, when husband and wife getting together and getting in close proximity, what's happening? The two animals wake up and both want to grab, both want to take, both want the pleasure, both become animal takers. And at that time, when you built up the animals and they want to take, and both are stopping, wait, we're going to give each other, not take from each other. It's a very fine line. And the neshama comes into the picture. You reach the highest climax of challenge between Chaim and Moses. Because you built up the highest potential of the animal by taking, that's Moses, you're dying. And human nature is so, when you fulfill a person physically, a second after you fulfill them, he's dead, he's worthless, he has no pleasure, he has no enjoyment. He's gone. You feel like an empty can, nothing. Why? Because you died. You fed yourself. But if you overpower those moments and you give for the animal for the sake that you should be able to, you take for the animal in order to give the shaman shalidwala basar echad, and then the shfinas emerges. You two have the shaman, so that's what we're going to speak next week. We're going to explain what the shaman means. Comes out the climax of bechira, the climax of choosing between life and death, could only be accomplished in marriage. And in marriages, either way, it's a challenge. If there's a very fitting husband and wife, that everything is in common, they love each other, it's even sometimes much more difficult. And I would say to stand in this test in marriage, to become a selfless giver and not a selfish taker, it's much harder to accomplish the mission to become a selfless giver when she's a wonderful woman, she gives everything what you want, because this animal gets everything what he wants. How can you override the animal? And you could never win. If Hashem should, God forbid, give us a wife what we would desire to get, you're doomed for lose for forever. You could never make it. You can never be Baruch Hu, because after all, we're human beings. So Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us. And what does he give? He gives us a wife, and the wife is difficult. The diet is directly the opposite. The man alone is not good because he can't become a giver, he can't choose, he can't be boichel b'chaim, and therefore can't have simcha v'tov levav. He can't, because he's not utilizing. Hashem says, oh, I'm going to give him an opportunity, he should be able to develop simcha, teira. How? I'm going to give him a helper. What is the helper? A wife, for whom he will have to be able to give. And how will that ezer, how will that wife help him to win the battle to be boichel b'chaim, if he's not so strong that he could override his selfishness? That I will give this wife should be a connector. The wife should be the direct opposite of him. Not such a nice wife. She doesn't understand him. And she irritates him. And he doesn't like her. Connector. Now, why are you staying with your wife? You have difficulties. You work, but it's a mitzvah to give. So now you become a giver for the sake of giving. In other words, the animal has a weaker temptation to take, and the weaker the animal has temptation to take, the bigger chance you have to win to become a giver. So when a person comes and complains, why Hashem gave me such a difficult wife that I can't be satisfied from her, the answer is because you are a loy zocho, you were not privileged, and Hashem knows your koichas hanefesh, and Hashem knows that you could never win your tafkid in life to be a noisen. At a time when you were such a comfortable kabbalah, you'd be getting so easily, you can never become a noisen. So Hashem gives you a difficult wife that you shouldn't lose this war. You should be able to do it. And this is the Ezer Kenegdoi. When we get a connect through the Kenegdoi, that becomes the Ezer. It's difficult. So what's the difficulty? Difficulty, you have to be deprived of personal satisfaction. You're fooled. If you should get personal satisfaction, you could never give. Anything which you give is for the sake of taking. But when you get a wife which is connected, and a wife which you don't love, and you say, since this is my shidduch, and I got married, and I have to grow, and I have to be challenged, and I will start giving and giving, and now I'm giving for the sake of giving, because anything which she gives me back, I don't even enjoy. Now you became a giver, now you were boicher b'chaim, and now you brought out the best of you, you were boicher b'chaim, then you develop simcha. And if you develop simcha, automatically start loving this woman. Why? Because this woman became the tool which had completed you. And that's the reason Machabda Yais Megufay. Why does a man have to be married? A woman doesn't have to be married. Because a man could never become a noisen only when he has this challenge with Tavapin, it's a connector. And since she is mashlem me, she is the one who's completing me, she only one she's completing me, I have to be machabater. As the stipler says, the union of a havasa ishla isha is like a union of an akoris hatoif. Imagine somebody saves your life. Somebody gives you this device that every minute you push, you're becoming greater and greater and greater. How much is a kodesh atoif? What do you do for somebody's makatoif? Somebody gives you this. You mechavet him. You love him. You mechavet him. If we would have known that our wives, which may give us difficulties and gives us complications in life, and but still, that makes me grow, that makes me come of noise and noise, automatically I have to be mechavet. Without her, I would be a big nothing. And therefore we see in the Gemara stories and stories that Bechiah had a wife, a big schlack, if you may say something like that. Anything which you wanted, she did direct the opposite. That was a big, big connector. But any time, when he went on the street, and he found something nice things, she always bought presents and gifts to her. And wrapped it in a very nice, put it in the suda, says the Gemara, gift wrapped her. Not only bought her a present, but make sure, get a lot of simaslev attention, gift wrapped her, gave it to his wife. And Rav was a Talmud of Bechiah. Rav asked Rebbe, why are you giving she such a schlack? I mean, why does she deserve it? I said, yeah, that she's matzalas and averes, and she gives her children. I said, what's matzalas and averes? She makes me grow. I became Reb Chia because of her. Why I deserved her? That's not her problem, because I didn't deserve something. I was a loitoyf. Loit zocho. The Gemara says, zocho is ezer. What does it mean? Ezer, I'm going to give him a vat. Ezer connect. Ezer help or connect the opposite. So said, either it's a help, either it's an opposite. And saying Zoch is the man Zoch, he gets an Ezer. Lo is Zoch, and he gets a connect. What means Zoch? If the man is such a tzaddik, that he's so selfless, that even as a wonderful wife, he's still not a taker, he's still a giver. So why should Hashem taught him to shlak a wife? So give him an Ezer. But if the man is a Lo is Zoch, only Kodesh Baruch Hu knows the roughness of my heart, he created me. And he sees that I could no way become a giver at a time when I'm getting everything on a golden plate. I can't be a giver then, and I'm going to be only a taker, going to be totally spoiled. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gives me, because I'm a Zohar, gives me a wife a connector. And only through such a wife could I become a Nois Nabechel B'chaim. If that's the case, even you look at your future wife, that she, you may have some complications sometimes. She doesn't receive, and she doesn't act up good, and you don't get satisfaction. Every time you don't get satisfied, you have to say, Hashem made it so. That only through that, continue still to give, continue still to give. And only after the man wins in his test, that you continue to be a giver, and you start liking her, and you start giving her, even if you get the short end of the deal, then automatically you start developing a habit to her, because you know she is building me. Without her, I would be a big nothing. And that's automatic, that's built to have her. A habit means giving. Hav is lotion from, Hav is giving. Everything stems from giving. That's the whole foundation. So we conclude this lesson at a very simple foundation which we started to talk, that marriage is an institution which endless growth. And there's complications in life, but the more complications in life is what you can understand why you came into this institution. To be a giver under these circumstances, you're going to grow and grow and grow in life. Automatically, if you know that she is my device, makes me grow, you must love her, you develop love to her, and the Chabdi Yosef will give you respect her more because she completes you. Next week,
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגדי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגדי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@kol.com.